You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The police caught the man in Florida and they arrested him for shoplifting. As he thought about his situation, the man said, "I have never been in this much trouble before in my entire life. It all happened so quickly. I feel terrible," he said. "I wish I could do it all over again, but I cannot." The anguish and agony of this man is echoed dozens of times every day. Also by individuals who have committed no crime. Their remorse is merely the result of careless living and foolish mistakes. A distraught lady recently wrote our counseling department and she said, "I have been inclined to brood over my past sins, confessing them. But," she said, "I have not been able to have joy, assurance of forgiveness, and peace in my heart." "And so the sermon you recently preached," she continued saying, "explaining God's total forgiveness, has been an answer to my prayer." The mail received in our counseling department reveals that this lady is not alone. Countless hearts are heavy with guilt. Many a troubled conscience now cries out for relief from the memory of past mistakes and failures. For this reason, we today set forth the example of the Apostle Peter. Here is that one whom Jesus affectionately called the Rock Man. And the life of this beloved disciple, involving failure and divine restoration, has for generations provided consolation and hope to troubled hearts and consciences scarred by failure. Oh, my friend, let the example of Peter be for you today an uplift for your life. Yes, let Peter's weaknesses and failures, and most important, his restoration to the Christ-centered faith, be for you an inspiration in your daily living. Now, to begin with, it is important for us to understand Peter's situation. For 3 years, Peter had followed Jesus. Peter knew from first-hand experience that Jesus was a very special man sent by God. The evidence was everywhere. When Jesus ministered, demons were cast out. And wherever Jesus went, the sick were healed. Unconditional forgiveness was proclaimed freely by the Savior, and even the dead were raised to life. Now, is not this enough even for us today to take Jesus seriously and to realize that He can help us? Also, that He is the one who can remove completely all of our guilt and all our torturing regrets. Yes, it is this Jesus, the merciful Savior, who wishes to cleanse and restore you for a new start in a new joy-filled future. That special event in Peter's life is described by the Gospel writer St. Luke. It all took place only a few hours before Jesus was crucified on the cross. Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when the soldiers had delivered their prisoner to the authorities, they waited outside. The soldiers made a fire in the courtyard. It was spring and the night was cold. When Jesus was arrested, the disciples fled in fear. But Peter loved Jesus so much that he followed at a distance. He wanted to know what they were going to do with his master. And so after the soldiers sat down outside, Peter decided to, as the scriptures say, to sit among them. It was not the safest place to be. However, remaining half hidden among the captors in the semi-darkness made much more sense to Peter than standing alone conspicuously at a distance. That would surely have seemed very suspicious. After a while, a certain servant girl came along, and as the flickering fire lit the faces of the bearded men, this young lady studied Peter a bit more closely. Then she looked straight at Peter and said, "This man was also with Jesus." Peter, however, immediately denied it. Peter said to the woman, "Woman, I do not know the man." Sometime later, Peter was again seen by another person who accused Peter, saying, "You are one of them too." But Peter, angry and upset, began to respond, cursing and saying, "Man, I am not." And then another hour passed, the scriptures say. And still another man began to insist, saying, "Certainly this man also was with Jesus, for he too is a Galilean." Then Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while Peter was still speaking, a rooster crowed loudly in the darkness. Then Jesus turned and looked straight at Peter. Now, all of a sudden, Peter realized what he had done. Peter suddenly remembered that Jesus had told him much earlier that before the rooster would crow, he would deny the Savior three times. This terrifying awareness of what he had done, that Peter had denied his blessed Lord, this painful awareness which hit Peter like a mountain of guilt, now totally demolished Peter's foolish self-defense. And oh, it was such a useless defense, buttressed only by a series of lies, very much like the ones you and I try often to use every day to defend our own failures and mistakes. And the results of it all is chronicled in a brief and simple statement in verse 62 of the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. We read, "And Peter went out, and he wept bitterly." Hundreds, yes, thousands of broken hearts and guilt-filled lives today can certainly identify with the crushing remorse and agonizing regret of the Apostle Peter. Within this rock man, there must have echoed the question of grief and remorse, just as in so many hearts today. Why did I do this? Why didn't I know better? Why? 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 Have you ever asked this same question? Why you did what you did? What led you to goof up your life so much? Or your family? Or perhaps your marriage? Or maybe your job? As any society becomes more sexually promiscuous, as ours indeed has, and as any generation flaunts and celebrates sin more than any previous generation, as ours indeed is now doing, so also shall automatically follow from this licentiousness a natural consequence, increasing guilt, multiplied remorse, endless regrets, hourly stress, breakup of marriages and homes, and increased prison population. Oh Lord, we pray that the example of Peter would not only drive home to our often sin-calloused hearts the lesson of what it costs to deny Thee, but also, O gracious God, let us through the power of Thy grace and mercy lift up our heads and see that even this man Peter, who fell so far, was restored by Thy loving mercy. Yes, O Lord, in the example of Peter, there is hope for every broken heart today, for every guilty conscience, and for every grief-filled heart. Oh, let it be as the poet wrote, "In the hour of trial, Jesus, plead for me, lest by base denial I depart from Thee. When Thou seest me waver, with a look recall, nor for fear or favor suffer me to fall. Jesus, let Thy pitying eye call back the wandering sheep. For unto Thee, like Peter, I would fain, like Peter, weep. Let me, by grace restored, on me be all long-suffering shown. Turn and look upon me, Lord, and melt my heart of stone." This Bible-based and Christ-centered message today, anchored solidly in the grace and mercy of God, offers hope and strength to all of you who are living in guilt and regret. Lift up your head, my friend. Yes, open your eyes and see God's powerful symbol of life and hope. My friend, behold the crucifixion cross of Jesus Christ. In that towering and powerful symbol of the cross of the Savior is your perfect pardon. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. In the cross of Calvary is packaged your complete forgiveness. This message of the cross also shoves aside forever all those who would try to dig up your past mistakes. "But you were washed," St. Paul says. "But you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God." Then St. Paul further adds, "You were bought with a price, the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, he says, do not become the slaves of men. Yes, the sinless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, offered up his body on the altar of the cross, and this perfect sacrifice was accepted by God the Father as a complete payment for all of your sins and mistakes. For this reason, then, from this hour on, do not strive in vain to save yourself through your own religious efforts, and neither let any man ever make this legalistic requirement of you. You live under the freeing and forgiving cross of Christ, the gospel, and so never become the slaves of men, yes, the slave of terrible legalism. From this day onward, let no man bind your conscience with chains of guilt. Your past is over. Let it all be behind you forever. In your new life in Christ, grasp tightly the promise of the prophet Isaiah, who said, oh, come now, let us reason together. For although your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. In those days when your life seems so meaningless, and in that hour when you wonder whether God loves you anymore, then for help and hope, reconsider the life of the disciple Peter. In simple words, Peter blew it, and he blew it badly. In a matter of seconds, all hope seemed to have vanished. It would have been bad enough for Peter to have denied another man. But in this situation, Peter let down, yes, he actually denied his loving Lord. And my friend, the lesson for us today is this. If God could restore Peter, then God can also pick you up and restore you also. God can and he will give you a new start. He promises to establish your feet, not upon the shifting sands of man's futile religious efforts, but instead, God shall transplant your wavering feet unto the immovable foundation of his eternal forgiveness. Oh yes, during the days which preceded the Savior's trial, and even during the crucifixion itself, the stress and the tension on Peter and the other disciples was intense. And although Peter's Gethsemane sword swinging was inexcusable, at least it is understandable. With torches held high in the darkness, the enemies of Jesus approached the Savior in the dark night. In defense of his humble master, Peter immediately drew his sword and cut off the ear of Malchus, the high priest's servant. And so today, if you in your life understand stress and pressure, then you and I can better sympathize with Peter the rock man, who sometimes shot from the hip. His intentions were sincere, but his actions were not always God-pleasing. Think back in your own life. Recall the times you used bad judgment. It is probably safe to say that when you made certain mistakes in your past, you were almost always under a lot of pressure. Oh yes, it is when we identify with the Apostle Peter that we accept humbly our true humanity, our frailty, and our total helplessness in the sight of God. On those days, my friend, when the look from our loving Jesus, even as he looks down from his crucifixion cross, when his look brings us to true grief and sincere repentance for sin, then and only then are we truly prepared to receive the gospel message penned by the inspired writer of the book of Hebrews, who wrote, therefore Jesus had to be made like his brothers in all things, so that he, Jesus, might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for all the sins of the world. For the inspired biblical writer writes, since Jesus Christ himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is now able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. The glance from the Savior's face, the look of his loving and merciful eyes, these combined powerful forces of forgiveness shattered the stones of sin which had settled in Peter's heart. And Peter, the scriptures say, went out and he wept bitterly. All too often today, the loving look of the Savior has no impact whatsoever on the sin-calloused hearts of the rebellious. Recently, one defiant young man, living in sin with a well-known entertainment personality, arrogantly boasted, we're not married. The children have my name. Our lawyers say that when I get to be 50 years of age, we should consider getting married for the sake of creating some type of pension plan. Indeed, Peter sinned greatly, but he did not. No, he did not defiantly defend his actions. He did not remain in sin. And so let all those who refuse the Master's look, the Savior's glance, his call to gracious repentance, let them consider seriously the warning words of Ezekiel the prophet, who said, "Repent, and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin." Is there any way for the arrogant and the pride-filled to avoid the warning words of the Holy Scriptures? Listen to the words of St. Paul, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or whether bad." Indeed, as we each face our own sin, we need to hear the gospel words of hope and salvation spoken by Jesus Christ to Nicodemus in the night. In the third chapter of the Gospel of John we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, that whoever believes and trusts in Jesus Christ shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. For God," the Bible says, "for God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in Jesus," the Scriptures tell us, "is not judged. But he who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." O Lord, we pray, may thy Spirit work through thy powerful word. Use the example of Peter to encourage us. Convict us of our terrible sins. And may we be led in sincere repentance to confess with King David, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, O God, and done what is evil in thy sight. Purify me, O Lord, with a hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Finally, my friend, yes, you can start over in this life. In the blood of Jesus Christ, you have been totally cleansed. You have the hope that God gave to Peter. In Jesus Christ, God is now offering you a new start. And so, don't delay, begin today. Live in Jesus Christ, and let him live in you, and go forth with confidence in the Savior's victorious resurrection. Oh, God, grant this to all those listening today. Amen.